Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Our next guest was signed by the Barracuda in December to a one-year AHL contract after spending the 2022-23 season with the Abbotsford Canucks. He was drafted in the third round by the Florida Panthers back in 2011 and was named Minnesota's Mr. Hockey that same year after capturing his second state championship. Please welcome Barracuda forward Kyle Rau to the CUDA Confidential podcast. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Kyle Rau. Rousey, first and foremost, thank you so much for the time. You know, we're recording this with about a month or so to go in the season. How are you feeling to this time of the year? I know for many guys, you've got lots of bumps and bruises. You're kind of grinding till the end of the year, trying to finish strong. How are you feeling at this time of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good. I missed the first 3 months of the year or whatever with training camp or the first couple months of the season. So I'm pretty much just at the midpoint of the year. So my body feels pretty good, which is nice. Being able to avoid any major injuries, just kind of just the day-to-day bumps and bruises, but those kind of go away. And so I'm feeling pretty good, yeah.
You always hear about guys, veteran players, joking about training camp, but you hear it maybe more in football than anything, but guys trying to avoid it. I know it wasn't your plan necessarily to not be in training camp, but at this point in your career, you've played about a decade of pro hockey. Is it kind of nice to skip all the extra practices and all that goes into training camp and be able to just kind of jump right into games?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice if you knew you had a job, but you don't have a job and you're skipping it. It's kind of stressful and you wish you'd be out there. But, I mean, the whole training camp process is like 3 weeks training camp, then a week in the AHL. But then prior to that, you're there 2-3 weeks earlier. So it gets close to 6-7 weeks of just trying to get in shape and feeling like you're not doing enough. So to kind of skip that's pretty nice. And then realistically, maybe it takes 3 weeks to get caught up and feel like everything's where you want it to be, whether it's your lungs or your legs, getting tired before you think they should, and just kind of the pace of the play too. It's hard to replicate that in the summer, obviously. And then so it takes a little time to get caught up, but definitely not as long as the other guys in their 7 week or whatever process of getting ready for the season.
Have you found during your career that there's certain things that can help you kind of accelerate the process to get game ready? Is it riding the bike or is it running or something along those lines? Or do you have to play games to really get up to speed? Is it that simple?
Yeah, I mean, you really just need to play games to get up to speed. But I think kind of as you get older, you kind of get used to feeling the feeling of you're not doing enough, and you kind of realize that everyone's in the same boat, so you don't stress about it like maybe you did when you were younger, if you're thinking if I haven't done enough or whatnot. So it's kind of just kind of realize everyone's starting at the same spot as you are, and it's okay to feel like you're not totally ready quite yet.
So we'd like to go back with these podcasts. We go back to where it all began for you when you first kind of fell in love with the sport, how this journey started for you in your career. So we'll go all the way back. You grew up in Eden Prairie. It's essentially a suburb of Minneapolis. So what was life like growing up in Eden Prairie and beginning this hockey journey that you're still on?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing hockey because I had two older brothers that played hockey, so I wanted to be like them. And then when we moved to our house in Eden Prairie, my parents built a rink in our backyard. So then my dad would spend countless hours out there in the wintertime flooding it and getting it ready for us to go out and skate. So we spent a lot of time out there just practicing or playing pickup games. So that's kind of what I would credit to a lot of my success making it this far is just all that countless free ice. And just even when you're playing, having fun, you don't realize you're still getting better and working on things that'll help you come your regular season. So, and I was fortunate to have a rink in my backyard. So definitely that.
You've got a twin brother as well. And you noted you've got two older brothers. So easy to fall in line in terms of being a hockey player if the older brothers are playing, as you said, they did, and they played at a pretty high level as well. I know your twin played some junior hockey in Odessa, of all places, where I spent some time as well. But to have three other siblings, to have a twin brother, pretty easy, I'd assume, to have pickup games. Did you ever recruit any other kids from the neighborhood? It was is always the brothers just on the sheet working on your game?
Yeah, if it was me and my twin brother, we would play against each other. But then if it was me and the older brothers, we would mostly be stuck playing goalie or something for the older guys. They're 5, 6 years older, but we were just happy to be out there playing. And then kind of as we got older a little bit, you know, our buddies would come over, we'd play games. And actually had another friend too, had a rink in his backyard. So we'd spend time at either my house or his house, and we'd play countless games of boot hockey. We put our skates on, play that. And in the summertime, we'd have our rollerblades doing whatever. So we spent a lot of time out on those small little rinks in our backyards.
I know your dad played baseball at the University of Minnesota, where you ended up starring as a hockey player. Did you guys play any other sports, or was it always hockey from a very early age?
It was mostly hockey, but we also played baseball in the summertime. And then kind of right around when we were like 12 or so, I keep saying we as in me and my brother, my friends, they all switched and wanted to play lacrosse. So then we were kind of like, well, we'll try lacrosse too. Might as well go do what our buddies are doing. So we played that for 2 years. And then kind of right at the start of high school, kind of made a decision if you want to keep playing or spend your time focusing on hockey. So that's what I did. I kind of flipped to just being full-time hockey. And then my twin brother played a couple more years of lacrosse. He was better than me in lacrosse, so he kept on and played into high school a little bit. So, but mostly hockey.
It's funny how that works, because I'm a twin as well, and I feel like there were sports that I was better at and then my twin was better at. Were you guys always really competitive, or was it more of a best friend relationship where you're kind of supporting each other on whatever path you end up deciding to take?
No, we would support each other. I mean, he played defense, I played forward, so we didn't really have much like competing unless we were just in the backyard screwing around. So it wasn't so much competition as it was just kind of supporting each other. And it was just nice to have someone you could, you know, just play with right there. You didn't have to set a time with a buddy or anything. It's someone who lived with you, right? So
yeah, I always say that too. It's like a built-in best friend. You always get somebody to talk to, always somebody to hang out with, and somebody that is into the same things as you. It's kind of the perfect thing to have a twin brother. We mentioned your dad, Mike. He played at the University of Minnesota, played baseball. You end up going and playing hockey there. Was it always the dream from an early age to play for the Gophers?
Yeah, it was a pretty easy decision for me to want to go there and play. My dad, when I was getting recruited, my dad said, like, I still want you to go tour around and see all the places that are out there that would like you. So I did that, and I was thankful to see what else is out there. But ultimately I knew that I wanted to go to Minnesota. And I remember my older brother was like, hey, when I was getting recruited at whatever, 14 or 15, he was a little bit older, maybe 19 or 20. And he was like, I know this doesn't mean anything to you now, but at one point you'll be happy if you're an alumni from the University of Minnesota. So I kind of brushed it off like, yeah, sounds good. But now I'm really thankful to be an alumni there, especially living in Minnesota in the summers. They let us come back and work out and skate. And all the other college guys, or a bunch of them, come back and skate. So it's fun to see those guys. So we got a good thing going there in the summers now, as it is now that I'm an alumni instead of playing there.
Yeah, tons of NHL alumni. I'm sure those are guys that you're skating with and are still close with to this day. You know, it's a big 10 school with Big Ten athletics, including football. Did you follow the football program, the basketball program, and the other sports as a student athlete yourself? And is that something that you're still kind of into? Do you still root for Gopher sports even to this day?
Yeah, I definitely follow them along. It's tough when you're playing hockey on Friday, Saturdays to make it to the football on Saturdays, obviously, but our coaches would try to make sure that we got to go to at least one game, and they would kind of block it off, make practice early in the morning so we could go and do the full college thing, which was really nice. And obviously a really fun day as a college kid. And then you're in the same classes as a lot of the athletes throughout the day, because the practice time is the same. So they try to put you in, like, you only have so much time to get the morning class or the late night class. You don't really have the afternoon class option. So you kind of run into each other and just support each other and know what each other's kind of going through, how busy it gets at sometimes and stressful. So
we're talking to Barracuda forward Kyle Rau. We mentioned your siblings. You've got two older brothers. You've got a twin brother. You were a two-time, correct me if I'm wrong, you won a state championship twice in Minnesota in high school hockey?
Yeah, we got two.
So you got two of them. In your second year, or excuse me, your senior season, you played with your twin, but your first national championship, which would have been back in 2009, did you get to play with the other brother as well? So there, was there three brothers on the team at once, or is it just your twin?
No, it wasn't national champion, state championship. But
state championship, excuse me, yep.
No, I didn't. One's 7 years older and one's 5 years older, so we missed each other in high school.
Do you still look at that championship, state championship, those two championships as kind of highlights in your hockey career? Do you still fondly look back at that time as some of the best times of your hockey career?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's just, you're playing for your city. So you're playing with these guys since you're 5 years old, going all the way up to 18. So you're with each other for so many years in a row on a team. And when you're young in Minnesota, you look at the state tournament as something that you want to do, and you look up to it, and you watch it on TV every year. And then when you finally get there and play it, and you're playing at the XL Energy Center in front of 18,000 people, it's a really surreal experience, especially when you're just coming from the minor hockey league ranks where you're playing in front of your parents and a couple high school classmates. So it's an awesome experience. I would recommend to anyone outside of Minnesota to try to make it there at one point. If you like hockey, it's a really cool experience.
So we've all seen the Minnesota State hockey hair videos on YouTube. Did you do anything crazy with your hair? Did you dye it? Did you grow it out?
I don't remember what we did, but it was like the first year that the guy, whoever makes those videos, did it was when I was there. And I remember one of my teammates was on it, and he ended up getting a comb sent in the mail as for his services for his video. I don't know what the kid's getting now.
That's
but
amazing.
I thought it was pretty funny when the comb came a couple weeks
Hopefully ago. It was golden or something, like a golden comb.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love it. So I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, did you score the triple overtime winner to win the state championship? Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. And
that was at the XL Energy Center, the home of the Wild.
Yep, it was at the XL. And it was kind of a rebound shot, and my twin brother shot it. So it's kind of a cool memory.
No way.
We have together, yeah.
And I could only imagine the type of dog pile and celebration that ensued.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. And you have all your high school classmates there in the crowd, too. So places full of your high school buddies and classmates and your parents and everything. It's a really cool experience.
What are you thinking in triple overtime at that moment? Are you thinking, I've got to put this on my back? Or are you nervous?
No.
What's going through your mind?
No, you're not nervous, but you're tired. It's the third game. And I mean, obviously you're young, so you don't get tired as quick, but it's your third game in 3 days in a row. And then they kind of do it where there's one overtime is shorter. It's like a half overtime and then a full overtime, and then they do the ice. So there's a lot of ice time, and there's only three lines, so there's a lot of ice time and not much rest when you're going that at the high school age.
You were in Minnesota's Mr. Hockey that year. You won a state championship. You're the top high school hockey player in the state. When you win a state championship, you're on the radar of everybody. When you score a triple overtime winner, you're on the radar of everybody. You're an elite player in the state. Was it a little bit of a surprise you won that award? That's a pretty prestigious award. If you look at some guys who have won it in the past, some pretty notable names that have had real successful NHL careers. Did you expect to win it? And what went through your mind when you were given that honor?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I expected to win it, but I went into the year trying to win it. But there's a lot of good players at my age, and every year there's a handful of guys that can always win it. So it's just a big honor. And yeah, like you mentioned, there's some really good names. So it's cool to be mentioned in the same mentioned for the same award as those guys.
2011, pretty good year for you. You were Mr. Hockey in the state of Minnesota. You won a state championship, and you were drafted in the third round by the Florida Panthers. What do you remember about draft day, and were the Panthers a team that were on your radar when you went into the entire draft process? Did you have extra discussions with them? Did you expect them maybe to call your name?
Yeah, the draft was cool. It was at the XL too, so I got to go to it. And then they were – I probably maybe spoke with three or four teams, and they were one of them. So whenever those teams would come up, I'd get a little antsy and wonder if it was them that was going to pick me. And then when they picked me, I was excited because I had a good buddy that I ended up going to college with, Nick Bukestead. He was drafted there the year prior, so it was nice to have a familiar face and knowing that you're going to a – going to an organization that he knew and he was already fond of. So
we're talking to Barracuda forward Kyle Rau. You went to the University of Minnesota four seasons. You were the captain as a junior and a senior. You said that your dad wanted you to go through the recruiting process, even if Minnesota was going to be your ultimate decision. What was the recruiting process like? What is it like for a highly touted player? You played a little bit in the USHL when you're going through that process and looking to commit. How does that all work? How does that all shake out?
There's like a, I don't know the rules now, but there's like a certain date where the teams could call or the coaches could call you. So you get some phone calls and then you just try to line up a time to go tour the college. And when you're at the college, spend a lot of time at the rink, looking at the facilities, the locker room, the weight room, the training room, the lounge, all of this. And then you kind of go and you check out the dorms and a couple of classrooms, what the classrooms might look like, and mostly just drive around on a golf cart around campus and just check it out. So it's a good way to tour a lot of ground quick and see what you like, what you don't like, how it compares to this other college or that college. So just a lot of comparing.
And that's not too bad, just wheeling around campus on a golf cart, checking out just the facilities and stuff. I'm sure that's a fun experience for a guy trying to make his big decision on what he wants to do for the next 4 years. I want to ask quickly, you played for Team USA at the World Juniors. That's another major honor and certainly something I'm sure you look back at fondly. What was it like to don the red, white, and blue and represent your country?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's over Christmas break, so you go, and I made the team, so I didn't get to spend Christmas at home, but it was a good reason to skip Christmas at there, and ours was in Canada, so it was a lot of fun just seeing how passionate those fans were. That was my first experience with Canadian fans and how much they love hockey, so it was cool to be a part of that, and we had a lot of good players on our team, so it's nice to kind of meet some people and try to learn something from some of the guys that are the best and are still the best to this day.
What would you say was your fondest memory during your 4 years of college hockey?
Oh, we made it to the final, the Frozen Four final, and that was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we didn't win, but to make it there, it's hard in college hockey to make it. It's only one game, so you got to be on your game. There's no series. It's one and done. So you got to be playing well. You got to come together as a team. And we had a lot of good players on that team together, and just to go through it with them. You're in there in the summer working out together. So it's a 9-month process to make it to where we made it to. And to come up short is a bummer, but it's still a memory that just training with those guys that you're fond of.
How do you approach a single elimination tournament differently than maybe you would in a playoff series? How does the mindset change? How does the approach change?
I mean, it's game seven right from the get-go. It's do or die now. You're kind of in these series, you kind of see teams like teams feel each other out for half a game or whatnot. And then maybe you'll see a blowout because the team kind of packs it in and says, we'll try again next game. Let's not overextend ourselves, but not here, not in the one game. You got to get it done now. So that's probably the biggest difference is there is no tomorrow. That you don't have the thought of tomorrow in the back of your mind to fall back on if things aren't going well.
We're talking to Barracuda forward Kyle Rau. You made your NHL debut on February 20th of 2016 against the Jets as a member of the Panthers. What do you remember about that night?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a dream come true to get that phone call that you're getting called up, and then you don't know when you're gonna play, but you kind of know that if you're getting called up as a young guy, you're gonna be in the lineup. So you come to the rink in the morning, see your number on the board, and try to learn the systems that they got quick, but you also try to just play hockey. And I remember the national anthem, you're really nervous. You just try to make it through your first couple shifts without screwing up too bad, and then try to get rolling from there. So,
Was there any moment early in your career playing NHL games where you got maybe a little bit starstruck?
mean, no, but you watch these guys on TV and you're growing up, like the older guys, you've been watching them for 5, 6 years on NHL Network or whatever it is. So just to be on the same sheet as them is pretty cool, but you kind of realize they're just hockey players too at the end of the day. So,
Was there anybody in particular that you looked up to? Hockey player wise, as a young kid, that you were kind of like, that's my guy, that's my favorite player.
not really too much. I didn't have like a player that I really enjoyed watching, but the Wild became a team when in 2000. So I was 8, 9 years old. So it was kind of right in my wheelhouse of when I fall in love with the game. So I just follow them along for the most part.
Was there anybody else that you rooted for team-wise before the Wild came back with no team for all those years? Was there another team you kind of followed as a real young kid?
Not too much. I remember me and my friend, we really liked watching Philadelphia because they would do their orange outs in the playoffs. We thought that was so cool. But no, that was about it.
Those were some good Flyer teams too. I'm sure that was kind of the Lindros, LeClaire era, I would have to guess, at
Yeah,
the around the
I don't
2000
also
years.
remember.
Yeah, that's not a bad time, not a bad era. You mentioned the Wild, the influence kind of on your life, them coming to be and becoming a franchise around the age of 9 or 10, and you end up making your way all the way full circle, that full circle moment. You signed with the Wild before the 17-18 season. What did it mean to you to sign back home?
Oh, it was awesome. It was a dream come true to be able to sign with them. I didn't know if I was going to get any games with them. It was a two-way deal, but just to even be in the position to have an opportunity to get games with them was something that I was happy to be afforded. And then I remember getting the phone call that I was getting called up. It was really exciting.
I'm not sure when your first game was at home, but when you did get the call up and you played your first game at home, where you scored that triple overtime winner in high school, did you have lots of friends and family come to that game? And was it a situation where you were almost paying to play that night?
No, I didn't pay for too many tickets, but my friends, they all came and on their own dime, which was nice. But I have one of my friends, his parents they have season tickets on the glass, and they still do now. So it was kind of funny seeing a couple of buddies right there up close when you're skating around, getting ready to play, trying not to look at them.
One of the things that's been real enjoyable about watching your game this year is just your relentlessness. You're obviously not the biggest of guys, but you play a heavier game. You have no problem mixing it up, getting your nose dirty a little bit. How has your game evolved over the years from when you were a highly touted prospect in the Panthers organization to where you're at now? How has your game evolved, and how have you evolved as a player?
I mean, the game kind of slows down for you, which is really nice in your head, and makes it easier to see the ice when it doesn't feel like things are moving around so fast. So that's probably the biggest difference from day one to now. And then you kind of learn what works, what doesn't work on the ice. So try to take things from, I've had a bunch of coaches now. You try to take things that you like from each coach and try to implement it into your game and keep it with you, because everyone's a little different, but you try to keep some of the things that you found have worked, and just always trying to evolve and keep getting better ultimately.
Hopefully you got many more years of playing and you can continue to play pro hockey for a living. But have you thought about in 5 to 10 years what your plan will be once you're done playing? Anything that you want to pursue post-playing career?
I haven't thought about things too much, but certainly thankful that I spent 4 years at college and have a degree to fall back on if that's the route I want to go or stick around in hockey in some capacity. Maybe, I don't know. I'm open to both right now, but it's definitely nice to have a couple options of things that you could do, even though I don't know exactly what it is, but it's still nice to have potential.
What'd you major in when you were at Minnesota?
I have a marketing degree, so probably spin that into a sales job of some sort if I went that route.
So you spend your summers now in Minnesota. You're almost kind of cherry picking a little bit because Minnesota's beautiful in the summertime. You haven't had to deal with the winter so much in that part of the country because you've been in other cities playing professional hockey. Has it been nice to kind of get out of the snow a little bit as you've gotten older and play your pro hockey in a bit of a warmer climate?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely nice coming here. And then leaving the rink when it's 60 degrees and sunny is much better than leaving when it's minus 10 and snow and you're bundled up and you just have to go home to sit in your apartment. Now you can go home and do whatever you want, go outside, sit by the pool, whatever it is. So it's definitely nice. San Jose is nice for that, no doubt.
So I got to ask, when you're back home and you're in the middle of the winter, you're in a colder climate, you noted you got to go back home. You basically got to bundle up and get inside of your house, or your apartment. When you're in a climate like San Jose, a little bit warmer, maybe it affords some more things away from the ice. What are some things that you like to do when you're not playing hockey?
Well, in the summertime, I like to golf and fish. Not very good at either, but I enjoy just being outside doing that. And then I also really enjoy just laying outside and catching a tan while listening to the radio as the afternoon goes by. Those are most days of the week during the summertime. You can catch me doing that.
Hey, you're speaking my language there. A little bit of off-season sun tan. We need it when we're in a hockey rink for 6 months straight. You noted that you like to fish. I know a lot of guys love golf, and that's kind of just par for the course, no pun intended in terms of hockey players. But you said you weren't great at fishing, but what are you usually going for when you're fishing? What type of fish are you trying to catch?
Oh, it depends. Sometimes we go for the walleyes, but most of the time just for panfish or just anything that's biting around. Just tossing a bobber, sitting on the boat, listening to the radio is a good time in itself.
Yeah, that's a lifestyle that's hard to beat. There's no question about it. Well, we appreciate the time. Kyle Rau, Barracuda 4, joining us on Cuda Confidential. Always enjoy hearing guys' stories, their path to where they're at now. But best of luck down the final stretch. There's about a month to go. So good luck along the way, and thank you again for the time. That'll do it for this episode of Cuda Confidential. A big thank you to Barracuda 4, Kyle Rau. For more Barracuda original audio content, go to sjbarracuda.com/confidential, or you can find us wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, I'm Nick Nolenberger, saying thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
The Hilton San Jose is the preferred hotel of the San Jose Sharks and SAP Center in San Jose. Experience something new. Close to home or from across the world, the Hilton San Jose is there for you with memorable offers and experiences. Enjoy the brand new guest rooms with luxurious Waldorf Astoria beds and upgraded amenities. We're committed to creating a safe and relaxing experience, including delivering an even cleaner stay from check-in to check-out. Visit sanjose.hilton.com now to make your reservation. We are Hilton. We are hospitality.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League, and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear, with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics, Adidas, and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.